joy to the world. The Lord is come.
You ever find yourself in that spot in life where you just desire a fresh start? Where you just, if you want to go to the slide with the chalkboard, ever wish you could just wipe the slate clean and start over again? And maybe you could relate with that, the video at the front part of it, the different challenges of life and the different heartaches and the different things that cause us maybe discouragement or downer of our day or maybe even for an extended period of time. It's interesting how God works, and I just want to share a little bit of my week with you to illustrate that. And you know, sometimes God works in very direct ways where you ever had one of those moments where he just kind of slaps you on the head with a spiritual 2x4 and say, pay attention because I'm showing up right here and now and I want you to pay attention. I think I had one of those. I know I had one of those. This Wednesday, I was working on this portion of scripture from Isaiah 61 for the message today. And I'm just reflecting on this scripture and I'll share it with you and share a little bit more. And my office is on that side of the building. And once in a while, I can just faintly, like it seems like sometimes the building creaks when the temperature changes, but like I thought I heard a rattle at the door, but it wasn't enough to think, you know, to get up and check and see if one's there. And then like a couple minutes later, this younger gal walks into my office, and like I didn't ask her, but inside I'm like, how did you get in? Because the only door open was the one into the kitchen. And I think what I've experienced this before, people start here and then they walk this way, I don't know why, and they check that door and that door's locked, and then they check these glass doors and that door's locked. And evidently the door out to the playground was open and she came in that door into the fellowship hall. And I could tell immediately something was wrong, but I have to admit, one of my skepticisms as a pastor is not so much here, but at my previous call, people would stop by and it would be inevitably their story followed by, do you have a gas card? Do you have a gift card? You know, and I'd say, well, we have a little food pantry. No, do you have a gift card? Do you have a gas card? Whatever. And I'll pay you back, you know, my check. Like all these. And I don't mean to make light of it, but I've heard enough that it's like, I do have a skepticism what the real need is. But this lady was like, I was expecting that. And she goes, I just thought I'd stop by the church for, I need a ride home to Killeen. I'm like, okay. She goes, I got some money. I'll pay gas money. You know, I have $10 to give someone for gas money to take me home. And I go, well, help me understand. I didn't even have to really prompt her, and she began to lay out what's going on in her life. And to just share some of it, I would summarize just very broken. And what had happened that morning, she works at one of the businesses down on Williams Drive, and she got in an altercation with one of the other employees, and she had a scratch on her neck, and it obviously became somewhat physical because of the anger and frustration of a situation that, how she shared it, was certainly inappropriate, and perhaps, as she said, it wasn't all my fault, but I own my action and my response to it. And she didn't have a car because the friend that brought her from Killeen works at that business and wasn't off till 6, and she goes, I didn't want to wait till 6, and so I just started walking. So, you know, it's about 4 or 5 miles, and prudence says, I'm not going to get in the car with this individual and drive a half an hour. And how that turned out is I thank God for Marlene, who was willing to do that and helped out this individual with a ride home. And as we are kind of working through this, and in my mind, I'm like, God, how do you want me to help her, and how can we help her both physically and spiritually? Because what really concerned her is she has 2 young kids, a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. And right now they're in protective custody with Child Protective Services. Because she's dealing with management of her anger. And it's not, they don't have custody of them, but they're on a limited, she gets to see them a couple hours a week, supervised visitation. This is just breaking her heart, that she wanted to be a great mom for these kids, and her anger would get in the way. And now her biggest fear was this altercation getting back to her social worker and jeopardizing her relationship with her kids. And as I hear her unfold her story and do my best to encourage her, don't lose hope, and that as great as her past has been away from the Lord, there is still hope and forgiveness to be found in Christ, and point her to the manger of Bethlehem, right? I'm discovering the heart of Christmas. I want her to discover the heart of God as it relates to her. And all this while, it's just like someone's life that is so broken, and you want to speak hope into it, and you want to speak God's love into it. And I pray that that happened in some way, that God's Spirit used our conversation. And I sent her home with kind of a condensed version of the Bible that's written, that takes the portion of the Bible. It's called the story, but it's really the Bible text. And I said, I just want you to read through this and realize there's a lot of broken lives, and there's a lot of people that have messed up and screwed up, even probably bigger than you have in your past. And, you know, she'd gotten in her past of some drug abuse and hanging out with the wrong crowd and, you know, just all anecdote after anecdote. And I said, I want you to take this with you. I want to send you something that you can read, another book that helps an individual find their purpose and direction in life found in Christ. And so I pray that she reads those, and I pray that God uses our interaction and these words of Isaiah, which will make sense, that we're rolling through my mind of how God wants to bring freedom to the captive and healing to the broken and hope instead of despair. And I'm like, this individual needs that. And I don't know where our paths or if they'll cross again, but perhaps God ordained that interaction to bring some hope into her life. Fast forward to that evening where some of you who read our prayer list and include those things in your prayer have probably seen a friend of ours, Chuck Stickler, who died of cancer just a couple weeks ago after about 35 days from diagnosis to death. And that's been very hard on his wife, and they just got married this past spring. And so what a roller coaster of a year that God has had her on, both of them, in this journey of togetherness and faith and relying on God in a very challenging situation. And we dog-sit her dog, and we had forgotten the food. So I had to drive it back down so that the dog had food to eat. And just tears and, you know, just sharing the journey and just, you know, after days of running hard physically, emotionally, just mourning, sadness, even though she's, the difference between your mind telling you one thing and your heart saying something else. And so after that day, you know, two individuals that had the chance to, as best I could, just to share God's hope and God's good news. And I want to do that to you. And I share these stories because maybe you can see yourself, maybe not today, but in the past, or maybe you know someone that's going through something similar, where you're just looking for a bit of good news. Like, we're, especially this time of year at Christmas, like, we want to put on this face of joy and hark the herald angels sing and everything's okay, but maybe inside we're just, our soul is heavy and our heart is burdened and life just seems a little bit wandering. And into this, God wants to speak his message of good news and his good news of, and his hope. And as we reflect back on these times in our life, let's go back, let's just think for ourselves, your story and where God has you here today and what's been going on in a sense of looking back, like I said, in our confession time. You know, there's perhaps times in your life where you just want to hit the reset button. I wish I could do it all over again. You ever had one of those? You just wish something could be different. And a lot of those times, sometimes they're maybe out of our control, but I would guess a number of them are due to our sin and our walking away from our Savior, and we do something stupid, and we realize that that was not God-pleasing, and that was not helpful, and in fact was more self-serving than others-oriented, and we realize that the consequence and the burden that we're suffering is a result of that, but it stinks, it hurts, it is heavy, and you just want to get rid of it, and I wish I could go back, and in that moment, or in that period of time, make a different decision to walk in God's ways instead of away from God, and perhaps things would be different today. Or maybe it's suffering as a result of sin, just in the world in general. Like our friend who lost her husband, it wasn't inherently any sin that either of them had done, but just the result of death and suffering and imperfect bodies and illness and disease that affect us and make it heavy on our hearts when relationships are broken for one reason or another, whether it's by death or by divorce or those sort of things that go on in life, and it leaves us in a spot. And I don't mean to make it real heavy in here today, but I share this for your heart and perhaps create in your heart and your mind a craving. So what is that good news? What is God speaking to this? And do I get a fresh start? Because like I said, whether God has you here for you this morning or God has you here for someone you know, I know he has you here for a purpose. And I know these words that Isaiah was given to write under God's Spirit 2,700 years ago. You say, well, how irrelevant. That's been so many years ago. Have great relevance today, 2017, a week before Christmas, to understand the heart of God and to discover that heart in your heart and to realize how much God has and does and desires to give us a fresh start. Let's look at those words of good news in Isaiah chapter 61. The reference is incorrect on the screen, but it's Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Just look at, as I read these phrases, just let your mind reflect on the emotion of one compared to what God brings. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Did you catch the emotional difference between those phrases? Like if someone would ask you, how's your day going? And you say, well, I'm broken, I'm in despair, I'm grieving, I'm mourning. Oh, you're having a good day then. Those are heavy emotions, aren't they? As you think about those period in your life or interacting with someone who's going through a period of despair, a period of mourning, a period of feeling like you're imprisoned, like you're bound by something and you just can't throw the shackles off. Those are heavy periods in life. Those are heavy moments in life for our heart and our soul and life itself. And it's into those moments that you see the great contrast that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord gives us to understand and to hear today. Freedom, release, joy, crown of beauty, gladness. When you think of those emotions, aren't they uplifting? If you start thinking of gladness, of praiseworthy things, of freedom, of release. Those are freeing emotions that free our soul and free our heart and free our lives. In what way? I'm going to give you three summary statements that, for me, capture the essence of what Isaiah is talking about here this morning and the fresh start that God gives us. And even as we're in one of these moments, or perhaps know someone who is as well, the good news to share. The first thing, it frees our soul from bondage and the darkness of sin, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Jesus himself, when he was ministering on this earth, fulfilled these words of prophecy when he stood in the synagogue in Nazareth and he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And he read from Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news." And at the heart of the good news that Jesus brought was freedom from our sin and the bondage that it captures us. And again, as we reflected in our confession this morning, perhaps just to go back to that, and what is the bondage of sin? Well, perhaps there's a few things that come to mind. That how does sin bind us? And we just want to throw off the shackles. Perhaps it's a sin we keep falling into. We put the term our pet sin, like it's always on the leash and it's always connected to us. And even though we struggle against it, we find ourselves falling into it. And every time we're like, ugh. And we go back, God, I'm sorry, help me overcome this sin. And then a few days later, a few hours later, we find ourselves the same thing. And it binds us. And we find ourselves like the Apostle Paul, the good I want to do, this I don't do, and the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. Who's going to rescue me from this bondage? Or perhaps it's guilt over a past sin. I've sat with people in counseling, and like I said, the phrase that sometimes comes out is, I've forgiven them, etc., but the phrase that comes is, I can't forgive myself. And it was interesting because in those moments, I want to say, well, you know that sin was taken to the cross, and you know that Jesus paid for it. And we were talking about this as pastors once, and someone pointed out, and I agree, that in that moment, the person doesn't need the good news, they need the law. And I'm like, what do you mean? They're saying they can't forgive themselves, they need God's forgiveness. And I go, no, they don't. They need to repent of not understanding that God's forgiveness is big enough for them. And the reason that they oftentimes feel that way is because they haven't made it up to God. And they feel like they have to do something to make themselves feel forgiven versus just knowing they are forgiven. And that in order to forgive oneself is first believing that the forgiveness that Jesus gained on the cross is full and complete for sin past, sin present, and sin yet to come. And we acknowledge that, then yes, the good news is ready to proclaim. But these are the things that bind us, right? Our souls are burdened at times, and Satan loves to come back and torment us with that. And Jesus says, I've come to overcome Satan, I've come to overcome sin, and I've come to give your soul a fresh start, not as guilty, but as righteous. Our soul gets a fresh start as righteous, and that means right with God. And we see that in the heart of God at Christmas, where he sent his son into this world. And that little baby born in the manger of Bethlehem grew up and was never a prisoner to sin and was never shackled in the darkness of unbelief, but always was the light of life, was always the one that would overcome sin by his perfect life and would overcome the consequence our sin deserved. Yes, sometimes we have to struggle with the consequence of sin in a physical way, but we can always be assured that our eternal consequence is completely taken care of. Because that boy Jesus grew up and he took our sin to the cross, and his empty tomb 3 days later proves that sin, death, and the devil have been defeated. And that's why the Spirit of the Lord can give us this good news that frees our soul from the bondage and darkness of sin and allows our soul to live in the joy of rightness, of righteousness. You will be called the oaks of righteousness. We're going to come back to this. The displanting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. That's our new title. That's our new identity. That's the fresh start that God gives us. Secondly, I'm sorry, one more passage, chapter 4 of Galatians. So also we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. You are no longer a slave, but God's child. A change in status. Imagine that feeling when a slave was released of his slavery duties and the family actually adopted them into the family as a son, as a child, to be included in the inheritance, to be included in all the privileges of being part of the family in a spiritual way. That was what God has done for you in Christ, is released you from the bondage and the slavery of sin. Are we going to still struggle with sin? Absolutely. But he now calls us a child, and as a child, an heir of eternal life. Now, secondly, frees our heart from brokenness, mourning, and despair. He comes to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes and the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. What would it take for your heart in moments of despair and mourning, etc., to find joy and a reason to be glad? Because that's what our heart gets. That's the fresh start that God wants to give, is a heart of gladness, is a heart of praise. I want to share with you some words of a hymn that are in our hymnal. If we go to the slide with Paul Gerhardt. And Paul Gerhardt, and I'm going to have you flip back and forth here, Jesse, in a second, wrote these words. Let's go to the words and then back to this slide, if you would. Once again, my heart rejoices as I hear far and near sweetest angel voices. Christ is born, their choirs are singing, till the air everywhere now with joy is ringing. Come then banish all your sadness, one and all, great and small. Come with songs of gladness. We shall live with him forever, there on high in that joy which will vanish never. Now go back to the picture with Paul Gerhardt, if you would. What would lead him to write words like this? Once again, my heart rejoices as I hear far and near, banish all your sadness. And perhaps since it's a Christmas hymn, you think of perhaps the Gerhardt family sitting around their Christmas tree and enjoying the nativity that was perhaps underneath it and just reflecting on the wonder of the birth of Christ. And I'm not going to say that wasn't part of it, but I want you to understand a little bit of Paul Gerhardt's story. Because if anybody had a past and things that happened in his life that should have made his heart full of mourning, full of despair, and perhaps even saying, God, I'm done with you, it perhaps could have been Paul Gerhardt. Here's a few things from his life. He was born in 1607 in Germany. So from a history perspective, if you put the Reformation in the 1517, so about 90 years after that, he was born into Germany. His dad, Christian Gerhardt, was mayor of the town, but died when Paul was very young. So there's his first tragedy in life, losing his dad at a very young age. He went to school at the University of Wittenberg, which Martin Luther was taught years prior, and he studied theology. In 1637, so at age 30, raging in Europe at that time was the 30 Years' War. And here's what he witnessed in his own hometown. 400 buildings and the church and his own home burned to ashes by the Swedish army, even though the townspeople had paid the amount the army demanded to not do that. If that wasn't bad enough, also that period of history was the time of the Black Plague. And as a result, in his hometown, the plague killed over 300 townspeople. If that wasn't enough, as he studied for the ministry, he was done with his studies, and there was nowhere for him to serve. He waited over a year before he gained a position in a church. And then in 1657, so at age of 50, became the third assistant at St. Nicholas Church in Berlin. And during this period of time, he began writing hymnody and that sort of thing, but a short time later, he got in trouble with the church, because the elector of that region said to the Lutheran pastors, you can't speak anything about the Calvinists, even though their theology was different. Because the elector was Calvinist, he allowed the Lutherans to stay in his part of Germany if they would not speak of any of the differences theologically with Calvinism and Lutheranism, of which there are and we don't have time to dig into today. And so for 3 years, he calls it his Berlin martyrdom, or a small Berlin affliction, a conflict with the authorities over this doctrinal issue. So professionally, in his family life, in his community, experiencing loss, experiencing reasons for despair, and if that wasn't enough, even though he was blessed with a wife in 1655, they had five children, but they lost four of them. And his wife died in 1668 after 13 years of marriage, leaving him with one son who was 6 years old. Now go to those lyrics again. If this is your past, if this is what you've seen, if this is what you experienced, once again my heart rejoices as I hear far and near sweetest angel voices. Christ is born, their choirs are singing, till the air everywhere now with joy is ringing. come, then banish all your sadness. One and all, great and small, come with songs of gladness. We shall live with him forever, there on high, in that joy which will vanish never. What gave Paul Gerhardt joy at Christmas? He knew sadness. He knew what it was like to have a heart that was not rejoicing. And what he found in the manger of Bethlehem was a reason to rejoice, because what God had given him there was a solution to the biggest problem in life. Even though he had experienced physical loss, he had experienced financial loss, he experienced professional loss, he experienced loss of his children, his wife, even though he had lost all of that, his heart still found a reason to rejoice, because the Spirit of the Lord had communicated to him the good news that brought joy and gladness out of mourning and despair. I don't know where God has you today. I don't know the people that you interact with today. But the heart of God at the heart of Christmas, what he wants you to discover is that what he gives to you in the manger of Bethlehem is something that will never be taken away. And to realize that your biggest problem in life and that of our sin and our relationship to our Savior is taken care of. And that's what allows our heart of brokenness, mourning, and despair to focus on that which will never fade away and will never vanish, and our hearts gets a fresh start to praise. Takes a turn for the worst. The third thing, the third start, frees our lives from living for self, and our lives get a fresh start to display his splendor. The scriptures say, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting for the Lord, for the display of his splendor. I don't know what oak tree particularly Isaiah had in mind. We have oak, live oak trees here, and there's some on our property that are heritage oaks that we can never cut down or take away because they're so old and they've been there so long. But when you think of an oak compared to other plants, and you think of the other weeds and stuff that are in the field that are now brown and dead and that sort of thing, the ones that sway in the wind, these oak trees are strong, right? They're stable, they're lasting. And when you think of life's emotions up and down, sometimes we feel really fragile, right? Very broken. We don't know if we're going to last another day. We're blown here and there at times. And the new start that God gives us, he says, you will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the Lord. And God redefines our purpose, because we realize in life what sometimes gets us into trouble is we begin living life for ourselves, right? What's best for me? What feels good to me? And that oftentimes gives us in trouble, and those create those spots and those moments in life where we just want to reset and we want to do it over. God is giving us in the manger of Bethlehem a reason and the reality of doing it over and realigning ourselves and having him align us to who he has made us, an oak of righteousness, of rightness, a planting of the Lord, something that God is doing for us so that we have a purpose to display his splendor. Let's travel to Bethlehem, outside of Bethlehem, on that night where Jesus was born. There were shepherds abiding in the fields at night, watching over their flocks, right? They had an identity as a shepherd, watching over those sheep, and the glory of the Lord came to them, and they went to Bethlehem to see what has happened. And here's the account, Luke chapter 2, 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You think of the things they could have done on the way back, and well, I don't know why we waste our time. I hope those sheep are all there. I hope our boss doesn't get us into trouble for abandoning the sheep. All these different things, but they realized what they had seen and heard changed them, and they told it to everybody they walked by. You got to go see this. You got to understand this. And instead of, they didn't have any thought of displaying their own splendor, but they were changed to display the splendor of the Lord. So I don't know where God has you in life, the people, the sphere of influence you have, but he invites you and gives you the opportunity to take on this new identity as an oak of righteousness, which the Lord has given to you, that covers all your sin and all your failures and gives you hope for an eternity, so that you can go through life displaying the splendor of the Lord, that when people see and hear and interact with you, even if you're going through one of the most challenging times that you've ever gone through, that you still find reason to rejoice and to be glad, because what you have in Christ is beyond any challenge that this world can give and beyond any guilt that any sin can create. because God in your heart, in your soul, in your life has given you a fresh start. So let's go back to that question. You ever wish you could wipe the slate clean and start over? When you celebrate Christmas and you see that baby in the manger of Bethlehem, that's exactly what God has done. It's exactly what God has done. And that's what God specializes in doing, is giving people a fresh start. Revelation 21:5, and he who's seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." This is God's heart for you. And these verses from Isaiah, what I invite you to do is just pick one phrase that you connect with. Whether you're feeling bound and you need freedom, whether you're feeling in despair and you need joy, wherever you're at, find one phrase that the Spirit of the Lord speaks into your heart today and that you claim as your own, and you live by that promise in this week ahead. Because the Spirit of the Lord desires your heart to have that good news and for that good news to create a fresh start. Amen.